Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning into this week's edition of the Apples to Apples podcast. I almost want to say it's sort of like a WeWork edition in a way, not because like
What was that word you used?
WeWork? Never heard of a WeWork?
How do you spell that?
We, you like as in you and I and Sam, we.
Oh, W E.
Work.
WeWork.
WeWork. Never heard of WeWork.
Is that an Eastern term?
No, it's a company. You've never heard of WeWork.
No, I'm just a baseball coach in the Midwest.
They have them everywhere. I don't really know. I mean,
Sam doesn't know what you're talking about. I can tell.
Sam,
I've heard the term before.
Oh.
It's like a multi-billion-dollar company. It had that crazy CEO.
You still can't
tell me
what they do.
It's like co-working spaces.
Oh. Where you find a place, okay.
And they, like, operate, like, the largest network in the U.S.
I gotcha.
Stupid. They're the guy that, like, lied about all this stuff. He raised a bunch of money, then he got sued and fired.
Oh, crypto guy?
He's not a crypto guy, no. He's the WeWork, you know who he is.
Okay, I mean, there's so many people that lied about stuff and made it.
No, that's true. Dollars. That's
you
not
can't really. You didn't narrow it down.
This was kind of the original guy.
This was a last minute patchwork.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying WeWork because situation. Sam and Paul are kind of in our own little working bubbles. You have to go tell a bunch of kids their dreams are crushed.
Oh, I know. Today and tomorrow. And one's a seventh grader. He's gonna cry.
Why is he? What I have? Well, whatever. We can maybe probably not.
He's not gonna make the freshman team. What if he's listening?
Why would he? Why is he trying out for the freshman team?
Cause he can, and he's actually not that bad, and we just didn't have enough room, and the sad thing is we didn't tell him to come to the tryout and just not do well. He actually is pretty good, but he's about 2 feet tall. And might weigh 27 pounds. Coach Inge wants to adopt him.
What's wrong with it? Is this, well,
I don't. Well, that's
Harris family life out. We're not going to say. Yeah, you need to be adopted.
We don't think he has family problems, so that might be the issue. one of Coach Inge's sons, Jay, coaches with us too. He's on board with the adoption.
He just wants to. He doesn't want to be the youngest. He's the youngest. Does he just want to be the youngest? Yeah.
He is. Because he's so cute, but that is the problem. We think his home life is more than satisfactory. And I'm not sure they're willing. But
yeah, I don't. Well, you never know. There's no harm in asking, I suppose.
No, like, we'll ask.
Maybe
younger guys are tomorrow, so we have a day to try to figure out the adoption, but
so if we didn't have to go through, we don't have to. If we didn't have the pleasure to go through and tell everybody where to find us, where to listen, and have you talk about Connor's corner, the 2 foot tall would have been a great segue into where I wanted to lead. So I'm going to put a pause on that. And before we get
to Connor's corner, is not going to take long because Connor is power tanning in what's the city next to Bonita or in between. Fort Myers, not Port Charlotte, Cape Coral. Connor and his family are vacationing Cape Coral. So right after our show,
it's Cape Coral. Like how are they doing?
Oh, red tide is officially gone.
No, I more meant the hurricane, but yeah, that I guess.
Oh, that tide. Wasn't, where they're staying, they're in an Airbnb and they weren't really by the water. They're on a canal. So really no hurricane damage.
Sweet. Good for them.
But so, but what my point to this is that it'll be a repeat show right after us, which is right here on. Oh, Troy Bell's doing the broadcasting for the State Boys High School Tournament, which I've never really watched, but it happened to be on this channel. WFNU 94.1 LP Frogtown Community Radio, which is where you can catch us. Connor's show. If you're listening to us, then you already know how to find us. We always have that debate whether we're on at 1 a.m. in the morning or late at night on Saturday. You guys can figure that out. But once again, a huge shout out to all of our fans. We probably don't have fans. The people that have listened by accident on WFNU 94.1 LP Frogtown Community Radio. Do you think anyone intentionally tunes into us on the radio?
On the radio? I don't think so.
Now, Sam needs to give a weather... Speaking of radio and TV, I think Sam needs to give a weather report because he's got stuff going on. And then we'll get to your two-foot, whatever you were about to talk to.
Yeah, the weather has been pretty crazy. You know, I was in the office during the entire day and didn't think the storm was that bad. And then apparently windows are shattering. There's glass all over the streets. Trees are down. Buses aren't running. Traffic is horrible. But yeah, the ferries got canceled. So there's a pretty big storm here. But I'm surviving. God,
there was such a good joke there, but I'm going to let it go. Because I'm a professional.
Well, if it's that good of a joke that the people don't want to hear, you might want to say it.
It might be slightly offensive, so I'm just going to skip it. There's good news, though. No drought anymore.
I think we have the opposite of a drought right now. I don't even know if I was walking to work yesterday, and people were covering their lawn or their grass and their bushes with tarps. Because there was getting too much water.
Yeah, I just saw a graphic this morning that the drought in California is no longer, so they can't complain about that. Now, tornadoes and flooding, that's another issue.
There was no tornadoes, but crazy.
They said there was sort of one.
Well, maybe some in the farm areas, but nothing around here.
Like, you got bridges down.
There's just high winds. No vortex created, I don't think.
Oh, okay. All right, well, there's a California weather report. All right, Drew, what were you babbling about after my two-foot comment?
Well, what I figured we would lead with is March Madness. We're entering the Sweet 16. Oh. I will be live on location later tonight from the Mecca. In one game, I am not – I mean, I'm going to say Forest, although I would probably root for them anyways. I will be rooting for Tennessee as I'm attending with a Tennessee fan, but I also get to see Kansas State and Michigan State, which I think should be a good game.
You know
but
what's
I wanted
weird about
to
what you just said, and then we'll get to it. I don't know if you remember, but you were a kid once and you were growing up, and your dream team was Tennessee. Aware.
I don't know. Yeah, no, I know.
You turned on them.
That's
quick.
What I said. I would probably root for them anyways.
Oh, you know, I didn't hear
they're
that.
They're playing FAU, right. But. Yeah, total coincidence. I don't have any of the gear left, so I asked him to bring me something.
Yeah, you had a watch from them.
Yeah, you had a Tennessee watch.
Every time I come home, I think to myself, I should grab that and give it to my friend, and then I forget. And that's the friend that I'm going to the game with.
Okay, nice. All right, continue.
Anyways, we'll get to the Sweet 16 games in a second, but what I wanted to lead with is we made our predictions a week ago.
Oh.
We all, I think, right in some ways, wrong in other ways.
No.
I think that's all. True for everybody.
No, nope, not right in any way. Go ahead.
I think I was right about one thing out of the 20 I said.
Me too.
Well, you were very bullish on Gonzaga, Dad. And you've been, I think,
I did. I know, but I didn't.
Have
think,
a big
I didn't
test.
Officially.
We'll get to them in a second.
All right.
We'll get to them in a second. But one thing no one saw coming, but at the same time, I think we all sort of saw coming, but maybe just like a round too early, was. Statistically, numerically speaking, and just watching the game and physically speaking, the biggest upset perhaps in the history of NCAA tournament history. I said it twice. It's so important. The right. Fairleigh Dickinson Knights, just from over here in New Jersey, taking down.
Is it Fairleigh or Zach Farley?
Fairleigh.
Okay.
It's not named after Chris.
I thought I was hoping it was.
It's like barely, fairly, extremely. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Fairleigh Dickinson over Purdue and the presumptive player of the year, Zach Edey, 16-1, a team that hypothetically should not have even been in the tournament because they didn't even win their conference title. But the team that did couldn't go because they're new to Division One. They lost a ton of games to some bad teams down the stretch. They were literally the last ranked team in the whole tournament, and they took down the one seed. The only reason I said I think we all sort – none of us saw this coming, obviously. But
we all saw the Virginia coming.
Yeah, we did talk about that. It's like I said, we were right on a couple things, but wrong on many more, obviously. But we were all, I think, pretty sour on Purdue, and it just took one really good game plan by this is why it was a good segue. Literally the shortest team in Division I basketball. They don't have a guy on the roster like over 6'8" or something like that, and I don't think that guy barely plays. They take down Purdue. They lose in a hard-fought game to FAU, who I will see tonight. But I want to start there. I mean, it's hard to overstate how big of an upset it was. I think it surpasses the Virginia-UMBC one for a number of reasons. With the primary one being that was literally against the player of the year, who's 7'6" or whatever, and they don't have a guy over 6'6". I mean, he's already on the first team. That's what people think is going to happen. So, I don't know.
I have a comment.
Discussed to, I think, you know, every way, shape, and form, but we haven't discussed it. So, thoughts on that game, Purdue, ED, et cetera.
It's a pattern by Purdue in the last several years, and Coach
Painter.
But I'll let Sam comment on the actual game, but here's my comment on the situation. Fairly Dickinson coach guy maybe should have held out a little longer, because he immediately went to Iona, which I understand Iona isn't the worst place in the world. No offense to Westchester County. But I feel like he could have strived a little higher and took the first thing that was offered to him.
Yeah, the only reason I sort of disagree is he toiled away in Division II and Division III to some respect for years before he got this shot. So I don't hate the fact that he took.
Well, if it was his only shot, but he would have got a bigger one coming.
I don't think he did, because if I'm being honest, I wanted to talk about this a bit. They weren't a good team. They won one big game. They shouldn't have been in the tournament. They lost a lot of bad games during the year. If they don't beat Purdue, which is obviously a huge deal, but if they don't beat Purdue, no one's even looking at this guy for a job. I think a lot of other bigger teams saw through that. I think Iona understands what it means now to have a big, you know, they had one of the biggest, but to have a recognizable name leading your program, and I think they went for it. I'm not sure he could have done that much better than Iona yet. Now, if he does it, has a good year next year, you never know. But we see this every year. A school wins one big game.
That was my point.
But you know what? Who's to say he suck next year?
It was a great story. I mean, 16 seed being a one seed, but I couldn't care less about Fairley Dickinson against Florida Atlantic. I mean, that's just. Not the basketball we want to watch in March.
Drew and I were like 3 seconds away from Florida Atlantic. Oh, actually, we were in separate cars. Never mind. But in December, we made a pit stop right near Florida Atlantic at Boca Raton. But we were in different cars, so I digress.
I don't know if I remember that.
Someone in our car had to go to the bathroom desperately, and we had to get off the highway. And
we were all there then.
Were we? Did we all go together?
Yeah, Sam. Wasn't it Sam that had to go? Or Sam wanted food. Sam was hangry.
Mom had to go.
Yeah, she had to go.
Sam was hangry.
And we got off at the Florida Atlantic exit.
Were going to, but then we avoided it.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah. So we were almost.
I mean, we drove by it, but.
We were an inch from going off. We were almost part of history. Like we were with Florida Gulf Coast back in the day.
Yeah, I don't want to
talk. Oh, we were a part of that.
Oh, yeah, we were a part of that.
You guys went to the – that was not fun for me. You know, that was like literally like days after I sent in my, you know, deposit to go to Georgetown. And then you guys went and bought. Is it my fault?
Probably.
I've thought about that a lot. Well, we maybe have time to talk about that in a bit, the coaching carousel and all that. But if I'm being honest, going back to Sam's point about, you don't want to see FAU, FDU. It was a good game. I mean, it was close for a while there, but like, if we're being honest, good.
It's
good in the fact it was close, but I mean, the actual basketball wasn't that good.
Well, and if we're being honest, FAU shouldn't have been in that game. Memphis got totally screwed by call after call after call down the stretch of their game. Well, it should have been Memphis FDU in the first place. And can you imagine, let me put it this way, in the alternate universe of good refereeing. And by the way, we argue about, not we argue, the three of us, we argue argue against referees very often.
Yeah.
But this year specifically across every sport, it's a disaster. But can you imagine Memphis should have beat FAU for a number of reasons. Memphis would beat FDU. In the Sweet 16, you'd have Memphis versus Tennessee.
Well, here's what I'll say about Memphis. Their coach is one of the worst coaches I've ever seen in my entire life. He constantly loses. And much like your guy, Luca, whatever his name is, from the Mavericks, if you complain and piss and moan about...
My God.
I know, I was just kidding. If you complain and piss and moan about every single thing that happens to you in every press conference... Eventually, the karma is going to hit you, and you're going to lose every single call like he does. All that guy ever does in press conferences is complain.
Yeah, I don't actually disagree with that.
No, he got
it. And I'm not asking for, you know, like 50-50 calls, but not granting the timeout is, like, that one was awful. That's the one that really, you know, sent me off the rail.
Three guys staring at the ref never saw it, or the ref staring at it. The ref never saw it. Conveniently.
And FAU barely had a hand on the ball. So there's an alternate universe where this game tonight is Tennessee versus Memphis, which, you know, that would be crazy. That would have been cool.
But I'm not so sure. What are we on? FAU? Is that who's tonight?
FAU Tennessee.
I think they might give them a game. Tennessee's missing that really good guy. I don't know.
Yeah. Tennessee's physicality seems to be carrying them a bit. They've been in two just rock fights. I mean, they end up beating Duke just because by 13, but just.
Thank God.
Through fouls and whatever, but they've allowed 55 and 52 points. Now, FAU's a little bit more offensively inclined, I would say. They shoot a lot of threes.
I mean, they come from the mean streets of Boca Raton, Florida.
Yeah, right. So we'll see. I think that should be a good game. But there's actually what ended up being a lot of good games in the Sweet 16. We had kind of some funky opening days. You know, Iowa State shot like 18%. They only scored 41 points. Penn State blows out Texas A&M as a 10 seed. With some other weird stuff that happened.
Can I talk about
ECU hits that last second shot against Arizona State. It was a crazy first, you know, couple days.
If you listen to this show, and if you do listen to this show, I mean, if you're not listening to the show, then this is awkward. But if you listen to the show, a lot of people that listened last week are going to think I have actually a brilliant college mind. Because I said Michigan State's going to make a run. I said UCLA. I said Gonzaga. Yeah, however,
UCLA and Gonzaga aren't exactly going out on a limb. But Michigan State, however,
if you were to look at my bracket, I didn't write down anything that I said. And if I sat down and tried to get more wrong, I couldn't have done it. I think for the first time ever, maybe UCLA. I think it's the only Final Four possibility. I mean, of course, I had.
You don't have Alabama?
No.
Who'd you have? Arizona?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, I had them in my Elite Eight, so.
But had the one huge upset right away.
Furman over Virginia.
I had Furman over Virginia because we talked about it. But then I doubled down and had Charleston beating them. And that was eliminated right away.
I had the same thing, yeah.
So it's like, I talked a good game, which is probably more important because no one saw my – there's my brackets. It's the worst in the – it might be the worst of any brackets ever done.
Yeah, I have no chance in my bracket just because of the virtue of who's left. But I don't think I'm doing as bad as it – you know when it just feels like you're doing bad? But I don't think I'm doing as bad as it feels. I have Bama left still. I have the whole upper right quadrant. I still have all four teams there. That was pretty good. I missed out on Kansas, but I still have UConn. Like, yeah, I have Kansas anything crazy.
Winning it in one of them. I hate Kansas.
I know. I'm shocked. Sam was big on the must bus, and I thought they would blow out Illinois, which they did, but I thought Kansas just – had too much talent, but they just didn't really show up to play.
Yeah,
Arizona.
I'm massive on Arkansas. And that's the only thing I've gotten right. So
yeah, Arizona didn't get blown out. That's
actually I have Kansas State too. So I got two of the.
I have Kansas State, Michigan State is a game I am very excited for tonight, and that's one of the ones I get to see in person. I think that will be a phenomenal game.
Every year they have this tournament is another year that the Gophers should just give up men's basketball.
Why?
Just give it up. Just don't even bother. Save the money. Because we can't compete, and these crappy teams every year are going to final, you know, Sweet 16s, Elite 8s. We win at least a game. We are pathetic. I say, let's just give up basketball. Let's fold the program. Well, we pretty much have folded the program.
Well, the women's hockey team just blew it again, so we need basketball.
I know. They suck. The men's team is probably going to lose tonight.
There's no chance. They'll lose to St. Cloud State.
No, they're playing
a small
bad
sidetrack.
Team.
Can you believe they put all three of those Minnesota teams together?
And by the way,
yeah, that's not that. I don't know how that's possible.
Well, and double down and put them in Fargo.
Yeah, they're not even in Minnesota.
I mean, those Gophers are playing. Who's the poor fourth team that's with us? That Gophers are playing Mitchell, a weird team,
I think.
Yeah, Gophers are playing them tonight. They're from New York, right?
Might be Connecticut, but it's over here somewhere.
Yeah.
Buffalo.
Yeah, how do you put all three teams together? Bizarre.
They claim there was a reason. It's just stupid.
If the Gophers that Gopher hockey team is so good, it's sickening. And if they don't do something this year,
be even better next year.
If they stay,
two of their best players are freshmen.
No, they've got like six freshmen that are unreal. They've
I know,
problem
but two
is
of their two of their three best players are freshmen.
They might be in the NHL. That's the problem.
I don't know. There's not a lot of guys that leave that early from.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how it works in
NHL.
Hockey.
They have their rights, but who knows when they were drafted? They can probably do better.
Is UCLA on tonight against Gonzaga?
The games tonight are as follows. Like I mentioned, the first game is Tennessee FAU from New Mecca. Tipping off just shortly.
Where are you sitting? Like, are you way?
I actually have no idea where his tickets are. I lied. I just totally made that up. They're not the first game. MSU Kansas State is the first game. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Then at 7:15, this should be the craziness in this game will be on the sideline, not on the court. You have Arkansas against Connecticut.
I wonder if he's going to go tarp on or off for the game.
He's such a good coach, but God, I hate him. Both of them.
He should be here, by the way.
I can say it about both of them.
He should be here.
Yeah, I don't know if he would. I'm curious if he would have left Arkansas.
I don't think he was at Arkansas when we were trying to get him, was he?
No, he's been there for a while. Muscle.
Oh, has he? Okay.
Well, I guess when did we hire Johnson?
No, I think Musselman was at his previous stop. I don't know. I could be wrong.
He got to Arkansas in 2019. I'm pretty confident.
I'll tell you something about Musselman. He absolutely would coach here at any point, anytime he'd come here. He grew up here. His dad.
He would have when we were looking. Now we're so bad.
Oh, yeah. If he goes, yeah. Now it's, yeah.
But although,
he can't even keep players.
The Big East is proof that maybe you don't need to be good to get a good coach.
Can I ask you two a question, and then we'll get back to this? It's a college basketball question. Would you two be opposed to making players sign two-year contracts?
Well, they did actually just put out this is not a joke. The NCAA just put out a memo yesterday that said, like, basically put limitations around what will and won't get a waiver for second-time transfers.
Even first,
you know,
time.
You can still apply or whatever.
Yeah.
But included in reasons that they will not say yes, basically saying you'll have to sit out the year, was coaching change.
I will say.
I just looked it up. Here are the three reasons they said they will approve a second time transfer, and I believe this goes into effect next year. These are the three reasons they will grant it. Reasons related to the student athlete's physical or mental health and well-being, exigent circumstances outside the student athlete's control, or assertions involving diagnosed education impacting disabilities.
I don't
want to be that guy, and I know mental health is real and like something you take very seriously, but you could probably make that one up.
I don't know if they're going to make him get like a certification or whatever. But here's the reasons. Maybe this is easier. Here's what they will deny it for.
Okay.
This is you won't get the approval. Degree program does not meet expectations, i.e. academic difficulty. No one's going to say the school's not hard enough.
Everyone cheats anyways.
Right. Transferring to change majors or prestige of an institution's degree program does not meet expectations.
Oh my God, none of those are reasons.
Athletic reasons, lack or change of participation, i.e. no opportunity, reduction in playing time, change in position or role, change to athletic scholarship, or coaching change. Those are reasons they will deny. Your point, they're getting closer to now reigning.
Right, well, here's why I'm thinking of this. I saw a little bit of the your guy. This is, I think he's your guy, Rick Pitino.
I wish he was my guy, but
okay. I'm happy. Oh, that's right. Yeah. We'll talk about that in a second. I saw his press conference where he basically said he's getting rid of everybody.
Yeah.
Now, is it fair to those players? Now, those players. Well, there's twofold to my point, and just hear this. I hear this out. He's getting rid of everyone. That's not fair to those players. They should at least, if they want to stay in school, honor their scholarship. Now, it would mean they can't play basketball anymore, and I'm sure they'll all try to leave. But that they shouldn't be able to just get rid of those guys and then take away their scholarships and opportunities for education. Now, I'm granted most of them don't care or want it. But I don't. This transfer portal thing is so ridiculous that I think when you go to a school, you can't transfer for the first 2 years you're there. Unless there was a coaching change. Which I do think people go for coaches, which I would understand.
Yep.
Only because it's so the Gophers are terrible and they deserve everything they're getting. But I mean, come on. You just you just go wherever you want to go.
Well, for whatever it's worth, it's every school. It's not just the Gophers.
No, I know. I agree.
Here's my couple cents on it. One, I do think coaching change for a number of reasons should be reason for a waiver.
I agree.
Put that aside. I disagree. I almost say I don't disagree, which wouldn't have made any sense. I disagree with I disagree with the idea of making a kid go to a school and sign a 2-year contract, meaning you can't transfer for the first 2 years, because I think you learn a lot about that university in your first year. That's probably when most people transfer, even as a normal student. You don't wait 3 years and say, you know what, not for me. You go for 1 year, you're like, this is not what I thought it was going to be. It's not the opportunity, blah, 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 whatever. Then you leave. But I would say if you are going to transfer once, that second transfer needs to be looked at a lot more with a lot more scrutiny, which is now what they're trying to do. Who knows how well they'll do it. Could just be a little virtue signaling from the NCAA. But I agree. It's gotten out of control, and clearly the NCAA agrees. That's why they're publishing this memo and rules and whatever. But we'll see what happens with it. So. All right. I agree in principle. I think you gotta let a freshman transfer if it's not what he thought it was. But I do agree with you that coaching change, you should be allowed to leave. Because like you said, these St. John's kids aren't gonna be wanted.
Well, they have no choice. They got fired. The guy told them you gotta leave.
I do wonder if you strip their scholarship, maybe then that's different.
Well, that was my other point. They should be allowed to stay in school.
Yeah.
And get it now. Granted, they're not there to go to school, so they're gonna leave anyways. I get that, but if they want to, they should have that. The school. Right.
So I don't disagree. So back to the games tonight. So we have Arkansas, Connecticut, Madness on the sidelines. That tips off at 7:15 Eastern. And then following the conclusion of Sparty and Kansas State, that's when FAU Tennessee tips off. And then the nightcap is Gonzaga UCLA, which should be a phenomenal game.
Yeah.
Replay of a was an Elite Eight game or a Final Four game a couple years ago. That was the Jalen Suggs shot. Also
Final Four, I think.
I think it was a Final Four game. And then
UCLA win it that year?
Is that when they went and beat down Baylor?
I think so, yeah.
Or did they beat Baylor ahead of that?
Maybe they lost. I don't. Maybe Jalen Suggs lost.
Jalen Suggs won that game.
I meant the championship.
I think they got crushed by Baylor, and Baylor.
Yeah. They got to the finals. That's what it was.
And then if you remember about whatever it was 15, 20 years ago now at this point, that was also the Adam Morrison crying game. That was Gonzaga UCLA as well. So there's some history there. So that's the night. So those are four very good games tonight. And then the other four we have on the docket will be Houston versus Miami, Xavier, Texas, which should be a bit of a track meet, and Alabama, San Diego State, and the game no one in the country cares about except for two fan bases, Creighton, Princeton.
Is Sam over the Santa Clara Knit loss yet, or?
No.
Okay, sorry, too soon.
No, I'm over the Knit loss. I'm not over the blowing the lead in the West Coast Conference tournament That I'm not over yet. And I'm still not over that Herb Sendek is still a coach at our university.
But I was up till 3 in the morning watching that one, by the way.
I literally, since I sent that text, that was actually the kiss of death. Because we were up double digits with 6 minutes left, I think it was. Dad got suckered in. And since I sent that text, the other USF went on like a 20-2 run or something. It was crazy.
Yeah, two worst overtimes I've ever seen. 3 in the morning Eastern time.
So poorly coached. I mean, we called timeouts three straight times to drop a play.
They couldn't get a playoff.
And we shot fadeaway threes from half court.
That same guy, Carrot Top.
But yeah, that was all coaching. But we don't need to talk about that. There's good teams playing right now.
Okay.
So a couple more things I think on the NCAA tournament, then we'll move on to whatever else we feel like. Maybe a bit of the coaching carousel. There's a lot of chatter there. One, I think sort of part of the bracket I want to briefly get your guys' opinion on. We talked about the weird FDU, FAU, Memphis, Tennessee beats Duke, all of that. Do you believe, I know Dad, you did, but I'll give you both a redo on your picks in a second. But Marquette, a lot of people thought they could go far, myself included. Partially because of the play of Tyler Kolek, the Big East Player of the Year. Just true point guard, does it all. Absolutely shut down by Michigan State, and probably you could attribute a lot of that to Tom Izzo. I learned a very interesting stat. And I'm going to get the numbers wrong, but it was a crazy win-loss record. Let's call it like 30-5 or something. That's made up, but it's something along those lines. Tom Izzo, in the NCAA tournament, when he only has one day to prep, meaning after he's won a first-round game playing in the second round, or after he's won a Sweet 16 game playing in the Elite Eight, or playing in the championship after the Final Four game. So, like, you know how they do those, like, you know, you have one day off in between those sets. In those second games of those sets, he's like 30-5 or something crazy like that in his career, because he can just, one day is all a guy like Tom Izzo needs. So do you believe in Michigan State after that, what was a very convincing performance against Marquette? It only ended up being a 9-point game, but, you know, it was never that close. And that's a region that's wide open. Tennessee is exploitable. FAU's the 9 seed sitting there. Kansas State, I think they're dangerous. 2 All-American players, Keontae Johnson and Marquise Noel. They took care of Kentucky. But what do you think about Michigan State? I mean, can you ever bet against Izzo?
When we started the show 25 years ago, I said back then he was the best coach in college basketball. I want to say Sam probably knows this stat. I think Michigan State has like 16 or 17 upset wins in the NCAA tournament.
He's got the most ever.
An upset meaning they were a lower seed, I guess, or higher seed, or however you want to look at it.
Yep.
He's the best.
24-7. Sorry, I actually found the stat. 24-7 with one day prep.
I mean, and I think he never has the best players.
Mm-mm.
I think he's the best coach in college basketball. There's zero reason they can't go to the Final Four.
Do you know who Tom Izzo, in that upset win, passed for the most upset wins of all time? Do you know who he passed?
It's not Ben Johnson. ouch, too soon. Or Patrick Ewing. God, give us a clue.
He coached for a really long time. And that's the only reason he had as many as he did.
Roy, Dean Smith, Krzyzewski?
No.
Oh, I know. Our guy, Jimmy Boeheim.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
Jimmy Boeheim, 47 years and a zone that 90% of college basketball teams don't face on a regular basis to get 16. Or 15 upset wins. Izzo got his 16th.
I got a question for Sam because he tends to be negative. Guy coached 47 years and has one title. Was he a successful coach?
Yes, because I would take one title in 47 years for any of our sports teams, and I would praise that guy till the day I die. So
yeah, I agree.
The only other thing I would add to that, too, you know, to his credit, it was, there was also five Final Fours. He won 10 yeah. Big East regular season championships.
Well, look at the competition he played every year.
Well, the old Big East that he coached in was just – so here's his resume. And the only reason I would agree with Sam, like, I hate the guy. I think he overstayed his welcome.
Oh,
but he did win a national championship, three appearances in the national championship, five Final Fours, seven Elite Eights, 20 Sweet 16s, 33 national or NCAA tournament appearances in those 40-whatever years. That's pretty good.
Yep.
He's not, I don't think, going to go down as one of the three to five best ever because he's only got one. But I think it's he had a very successful and a very good career. So you're in on Izzo, Dad. Do you think they pull it off tonight too?
Yep.
And if they pull it off tonight, you have to think they win. They
no, go I the think final. They're going to the Final Four at this point.
That's kind of how I feel. I think it's if they win tonight, the Final Four spot is theirs. If they lose, then it's anybody's guess. Okay. Before we move on from the NCAA tournament, we'll regroup next week ahead of the Final Four. I want to give you guys a redo on your picks. I think a lot of people could use a redo on your picks.
I can tell you 42 picks I won't pick.
I will give you we'll go region by region, and I just want to know who's going to go to the Final Four from that region. Who's going to win that? We'll start here. We'll start in MSG where I will be tonight. FAU, Tennessee, Kansas State, Michigan State. Dad, sounds like you're taking
Michigan State. I'm going Michigan State.
Samuel?
Yeah, I like this Kansas State team a lot. And last game, the way they battled, I think they can beat a hard-fought Michigan State team. But Michigan State, I just remembered, they're one of the few teams I've actually watched throughout the year. And I was texting, I have receipts with my friend from a couple months ago texting about this Michigan State team and how we can think they can go deep in the tournament. And then all of a sudden, I look at my bracket and I don't have them going that deep. And I was like, what? This is one of the teams I actually watched and had and thought they were good. I think I agree with that. I think Izzo's the best coach in college basketball. I've said it for a while. I'll continue to say it, especially with these performances. But I don't know why I haven't been picking them.
I don't know why I did that either.
To be fair, it was Marquette. I think we were all pretty high on Marquette. Any other region, I agree. I think I probably said them further. But
I should remember what I say on this show because I did the complete opposite.
Yeah. And I think obviously I had Marquette winning. But I think I'm going to go Michigan State. I mean, the way they've been playing in Kansas State, they played some really bad basketball last game.
Yeah.
And I think a well-coached Tom Izzo team, and they have some experience and are deep. They won't allow Kansas State to come back after that. I think they can comfortably put them down. So I think Michigan State, but I do think this might be the best game of the weekend.
It's definitely the best game tonight. I think Gonzaga UCLA is going to be a very good game, but I think no matter what, I think the winner of Kansas State Michigan State is your Final Four team. I'll pick Kansas State just to go contrarian on you guys, and because I actually have them that far. I agree with Sam though, they did not play great against Kentucky, but they still came back, won by six. And if you get your bad game out of the way and you get away with a win, sometimes that's all you need in March.
Calipari is a bad coach, though. He's just a good recruiter.
No, for sure. But if you can still, to Sam's point, play a poor game and get away with
it. Well, I think Kansas State's better.
Yeah, for sure. No, I'm just saying, you got to get your bad game out of the way and get away with a win. And there are a lot of teams that have done that so far. You know, I'm trying to think of another comparable team. Like UCLA only beat Northwestern by five. That was close.
I think Gonzaga might absolutely drill them.
So let's go to that region then next. That region, you have the Must Bus and UConn, who's playing very good basketball.
This is the hardest one.
And then Gonzaga and UCLA. Gonzaga and UCLA just barely skated by their second round matchups. Gonzaga only beat TCU by three after TCU blew a pretty decent lead. UCLA was only held to 68 by Northwestern, although that's kind of what Northwestern does. They take the air out of the ball. I think that's going to be these are both going to be just heaters of games, I think. But what do you got? Must Bus in Arkansas, UConn, Gonzaga, UCLA.
I think it's going to be Arkansas Gonzaga. And I could see either one of them winning. I guess I'm going to say, because I said it last week, so I'll look sort of smart if it happens, that this might end up being Gonzaga's year because no one thought about him, even though I didn't pick him to go very far. I'm going to go with them. It would not shock me. I know this is kind of not going on a limb. It would not shock me to see Arkansas. I think they're just kind of in that role right now, and with the coach and the players, but I'm going to go Gonzaga.
Yeah,
I mean, I think Gonzaga is not going to make it far this year, and I thought they would have lost already. So that's the thing. Everything I'm thinking, but I think UCLA is going to crush them. I don't think Gonzaga is good this year. I think they should have lost last game. They did not play that. I know the West Coast Conference is better this year, but they didn't dominate like they usually do. I mean, Timmy, I don't know how he gets by. He's going to go undrafted. He's worse than Luka Garza, and I don't think he has a future at all in the NBA. But I picked Arkansas in my Final Four, so I have to stick with them. So I think Arkansas and UCLA will win those two.
The cool thing about Timmy is he can step right into the men's league and no one will know the difference. So
yeah,
he looks.
You know, he's got a year of eligibility left.
He does. I would recommend him coming back because it'll just prolong his career one more year.
I have UCLA as my Final Four team out of this region.
I do too, and I picked Gonzaga.
So I'm gonna go with them. Actually, that's not true. This is Kansas's region, but I had UCLA playing Kansas.
Oh, it is.
The Elite Eight. Excuse me. Yeah, then I'm gonna stick to UCLA. I think you guys are underrating UConn. I think they're playing incredible.
I'm not underrating them. I think these four could have all been in the Final Four.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I think UConn is just getting the shot making they need out of their guys. Now, I've watched a lot of UConn this year, and the only thing I will say about UConn, not the only thing, but we got to move on, is they're really the one team remaining, maybe Xavier a bit, but they don't use them kind of, you know, as a traditional sense. They're the one team that's got like an all country in some way, shape, or form big man that they play through. That is in the Sweet 16. All those other teams kind of fell apart. Yeah, but it's not the same. Like, they have like a back to the basket big. Kalkbrenner can step out. He can run the floor. Like, Sanogo is traditional as it gets. And all the other ones have gone away. So maybe he's just, you know, even like Trace Jackson Davis in Indiana. So whatever. I'll go UCLA. Let's make this one quick because I think we'll all have the same opinion. Bama, San Diego State, Creighton, Princeton, the game that nobody cares about. I have Bama winning. I'm just going to say Bama and get mine out of the way.
I'm going to go Bama over Princeton to get there. I think Princeton's got one more in them.
I hope so. That'd be cool.
I don't think Creighton's good, but they are playing really good basketball right now. And I hope Princeton wins. Sorry, George, the freshman, if you're listening.
George Frost.
But I think Creighton, they're playing really well. I don't think they'll lose that, but I think they'll get crushed in the next round. I think Texas will crush Xavier. I don't think they're that good, even though they're playing well. I think I got Houston winning, so I got to pick them, and I think Alabama. I love San Diego State, and especially their coach, but I think
he's Alabama. He's one of us, too.
He's a guy that actually probably would – I think Muss has kind of carved out something for himself at Arkansas. Dutcher would for sure leave. He's got enough. I don't think he wants to be in the. I don't even know what they're in. Is that the Mountain West they're in these days?
San Diego is a bad place to live. That's true.
Well, it's not a bad. I mean,
considering we still have 6 feet of snow and it's 20 degrees again, I think I.
Well, they got trees over, like, you know, on the road.
I'll take that.
Southern California. Okay, Sam did bring us to our final region. Houston, Miami, Xavier, Texas.
Houston, Miami. Xavier.
I do not believe in Houston personally. I think the offense is not great and it's going to catch up with them. They were getting beat by Auburn until Auburn just forgot that the goal of basketball is to put
Miami's
the ball in the
court. Well.
Miami is playing very well. Auburn had no business getting beat that bad. They shot 19 of 36 free throw line. And I did say on this show, one of the three things I need from a team in March is to make your free throws. And they didn't, and they got beat bad. I have Texas as my Final Four team from this region. I'm going to stick to it. They got a couple guys. this guy Dylan Disu is there's might not be a guy playing better in the tournament. And I'm with Sam. Xavier's playing well, but I think their defense is incredibly exploitable. I think in that game, take the over, but also take Texas and take Texas to beat. I don't know who's going to win between Houston and Miami. That should be a very good game.
I'm struggling with this because my gut, and while it's not as big as it used to be, it's still big. My gut tells me Xavier, but I'm going to go completely on a limb. I'm going Xavier over Miami to get to the Final Four.
Okay.
I don't know why I feel that way. Because I agree. I don't even think they're that good. But so, that's just what my gut's telling me.
There you have it. We'll check back in next week when the Final Four is set. And then
where is the Final Four?
Houston.
Oh, we have
went over this. Jim Nantz, it's his alma mater.
Oh, my God. Fred Couples, golf. Yes, we did go over this. Yeah. Well, that was a long time ago. That was a week ago.
It was. Lots happened in a week.
Oh, my God.
As we just spent 45 minutes.
So, quickly on the Wild. Once again, the Wild. Amazing regular season, but they can't separate themselves from anyone.
Well, that's to be the only thing I will say is that's more because of the fact that it took them 2 weeks to get off there.
No, I understand. I understand. They are just setting us up once again to lose to Colorado, aren't they?
We may catch Dallas.
Well, we're only a point behind and we're on national TV.
No, we're tied. We're tied.
Oh, we're tied.
Yeah, and we play the Flyers, who have no interest in winning.
National TV, Espen. I won't.
Yes, and then following that game is Pittsburgh-Dallas, and Pittsburgh's in the heat of a
Pittsburgh just too. Beat Colorado last
Colorado, time. I know. We need them again.
All right.
This is my point. We may catch – I'm telling – well, we've already caught Dallas, technically. We're tied.
So then we would play Seattle, I would imagine.
Yes, unless we somehow catch Vegas, who's
God, there's
4 points ahead of us. But
the, I mean – if they play Seattle, holy crap, is that a break? I don't care how
well they got to catch Dallas. Play. I mean, it's not really a break. They earned it. They'll have won the conference. But here's the thing. Pittsburgh needs this game as bad as anybody. Pittsburgh's up a point for the final Eastern Conference wildcard spot against Florida.
Oh, I know.
They're 2 points back of the Islanders with a game in hand, so this would give them even a little bit more breathing.
Hey, Sam?
They need it.
Yeah.
You're a great hockey mind. I mean... I feel like the way they're playing, I would send Kaprizov down when he gets back.
That's something I wanted to bring up. It's like, I mean, are we better without him?
Sounds
the
like.
The only thing I will say, the first line is awful without him.
Oh, you don't even. No,
Hartman and Zuccarello might as well not be on the ice.
No, Ryan Reeves is carrying the team.
Zuccarello doesn't exist without Kirill, but Hartman's actually been scoring too, which is good. Good to get his scoring legs under him again because he was not playing well. And if he can get back to the form he was in last year, we're a dangerous team.
Well, the goaltending's been decent too.
Well, yeah, it helps. It helps.
You know what? I apologize. They will give up 5 goals tonight after I just said that. Yesterday at baseball, I turned to somebody and I go, this kid's really, you know, he's not short arming anymore. 1 second later, he shorts armed the throw. Then I go, that kid at second, he's looking good. Ball right through his legs 1 second later. So I really need to stop making those kind of comments about anything. So I apologize, Wild goaltender. I'm sure you're going to give up 5, whichever one's playing tonight, now that I said that.
To a team that probably
hasn't scored 5 goals in a week.
Yeah, that is probably true.
Jeez, that's on me. I knew it when it came out.
They're both playing pretty well. Gus Bus got back on.
It's got to be the Flower.
I think Fleury's playing.
Yeah.
Yep. Fleury, who's won 7 in a row, starts. No, but here's quickly on the Wild, because we got a lot more interesting stuff on them and the Timberwolves, who Cat came back. Cat looked good.
One kind of a mustard game.
We got a lot more coming there. But
we're in trouble, by the way. Go ahead.
Well, I don't want to spend too much time on the Timberwolves just because
I don't either. I can't stand them.
Every acquisition Guerin made, and we were all like, yeah, they're low cost, so what's the risk? They've all panned out. Johansson looks now not breaking his arm twice helps, but looks like a completely different guy than the one we had 2 years ago. I think they might have to try and keep him beyond the year.
Yeah.
Sundqvist is replaceable, although he's playing well. Klingberg is good, but we have a pretty strong decor behind him. And meanwhile, the best offensive player of all of them still hurt, Nyquist. So all the Swedes.
And now Sammy Shaw's playing well.
Mason.
Who?
Mason Shaw.
It's not Sammy Shaw?
It's Sam Steele, isn't it?
It's Sam Steele, Sammy Walker, Mason Shaw.
Have you ever seen them in the same room together?
No. And neither or Duhame and Dewar and Shaw are the same guy.
Duhame is legit. I like him.
Oh, for sure.
The Sammy Steele or Sammy Shaw.
Sammy Sprinkler.
They're all the same.
No, Duhame should be on this team for a while. I agree with that. But yeah. Shaw, Steele, Dewar are the same guy, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, they're actually serviceable right now. I mean, I can't.
Shaw's our best penalty killer, which is the craziest thing. The guy has more goals shorthanded than he does 5-on-5.
But so does Duhame, I think. Kind of weird.
I think Duhame's got a couple. He's played well. But anyway, Eriksson back to scoring.
They're in the hunt.
Like you said, they struggled early, and it's coming back to bite them because they should be multiple points.
It's ridiculous.
The way they're playing. But what I will say this year that feels different than years past, now they may disappoint us all again, who knows, but it feels like they're playing the right style, if that makes sense, of hockey to be successful in the playoffs. And Kaprizov getting hurt, we need him healthy for the playoffs, obviously, but it might be one of the better things that's actually happened to them just for this short stretch. But they're playing the right way. They're playing tough defensively, checking hard, and scoring throughout the lineup, so... It feels a little different. Like last year, you knew it was like Kaprizov or nothing. This year feels a little different. So,
yeah,
we'll see.
I got one Viking take, so let's do the Timberwolves quickly.
I actually, I'm not joking. Like, great to have Cap back. Good first game. Got a win against a team you needed to beat at home.
But
this West Coast road trip.
Yeah, we're in trouble.
But all these other teams, the only thing I will say is all of these teams keep losing. Dallas lost again.
That's true.
Last night.
The
Mavericks just lost. Or I just said Dallas. Sorry.
Dallas and the Mavericks just lost.
The Jazz lost.
But they lost to the Lakers.
I know. Well, that's the thing. We're all just playing each other. So I think it's all like going to kind of find its water. I don't think anyone's going to gain. Because who plays tonight? The Thunder play the Clippers. So like one of them's going to drop a game no matter
what. Clippers are done without Paul. They're done.
I know that. I totally agree with. And then Friday... the Jazz play the Bucks, the Warriors play the Sixers, the Suns and Kings play each other, the Thunder and Lakers play each other. Like, everybody's going to just start playing each other. And so I don't know how much anything can really shift just because all of these teams can continue to play each other.
Here's my Viking take. Now,
I have a short baseball take to wrap us up. Right. So just
please help me with this. Is there a Lamar Stewart? Because I was about to say, I don't know, I meant Lamar Jackson, but Lamar Stewart was about to come out, and I'm trying to figure out where I came up with Lamar Stewart.
Martha Stewart?
Maybe that's what it is. Okay, I think Lamar Jackson...
It's an actor named Lamar Stewart.
This is going to be very confusing what I'm about to say. I think Lamar Jackson is the single most overrated player in the history of football. He's never won a big game. He's never wins in the playoffs. He's always hurt, and having said that, the Vikings should do anything humanly possible to go trade for that guy. Thanks, I've got that off my chest.
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
I agree.
Contradicting how I feel about the guy, but if they have an opportunity, they should take it.
I don't know if it's going to be in this draft. I don't know if it's going to be for someone like Lamar Jackson. I don't know if it's going to be next draft, but it is incredibly clear that the Vikings are positioning themselves to get a franchise quarterback in the next, let's call it 390 days. Because if it's not this draft, it's next draft.
Okay, that's fine. If you're going to, because this draft, if you're not going to get one of the top four, I'm sick of the Vikings getting some mediocre guy and then it doesn't work out. Then it's next draft. That's cool.
I think there's an exceptionally high possibility. And I don't know if they'll be able to get high enough to get a quarterback. But I think you're going to see, for the first time in God knows how long, a trade up by the Vikings.
Wow.
I would just stay pat this year. I would play out this year. You're not going to be a 13-win team. You'll hover around 500. That's okay. You'll get a decent pick next year. And I do the move up next year when you know you have a better class or you have more assets to go get a guy like Jackson or whoever, although he'll be on a team. But
yeah,
my take. Sam, quickly, anything there?
Thielen said he wanted $20 million and he got $8 million. Oh. I mean, I don't, like, that was insane.
What a fraud. Yeah, didn't I tell you he was going to go to Carolina? I swear to God I said that.
And he said he went there because of Andy Dalton. Does he watch football?
I don't know. Andy Dalton?
I think I've lost all my respect for him.
He could have made the same amount of money with the Vikings, couldn't he?
They
honestly probably didn't want him, which I think is
but 13 million, fair. They probably didn't. But
you know what's ironic about him? His press conference. Someone I live with that you guys used to live with was literally 10 feet from that press conference in her hotel room.
Oh, in Carolina?
Yeah. The hotel is next door.
Yeah.
To the.
You should have stopped by. I got a press pass.
I know.
That was a little, I think I swear to God, you were like, Dad, you were like, no, he's going to go somewhere good. You were like, he's going to go to Dallas or whatever. I was
well,
like,
that, did you see all the teams he was looking at?
I know. And then what I was like, idiot. Whoa, because none of those teams are going to pay him. He's going to go somewhere like Carolina or Houston. I swear I said that.
Make that much.
No, because no one, he thinks he's so much better than he is at this point in his career.
Well, he could have made that much at Dallas, but yeah, I agree with you.
Maybe, but Dallas wouldn't, didn't Dallas go and get another good receiver?
Brandon Cook, but I'm not sure that might be
a bust. And they paid him probably the same amount of money, and he's way better at this point.
They traded for Brandon Cook.
He's 30 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. That was a little disappointing on with Sam. Okay, quick. Very quick baseball thing. We'll talk more about baseball.
Third place.
Probably next week.
Mookie Betts citizenship should be revoked.
Mookie Betts citizenship should be
revoked. The pitching.
I mean, am I wrong?
Yeah. No. Well, the pitching wasn't the problem. It was a 3-2 baseball game. But yeah. We probably should have talked more about the World Baseball Classic because I fully enjoyed it.
I strongly feel that unless they're gonna, that you need to be born in these countries. This is ridiculous. You got Americans playing in Japan. It's a farce.
Now, to be fair though, 99% of the Japanese team, besides that guy, was.
I understand.
It's kind of funny because for the most part, the teams that do that weren't very good.
No, they needed them to put a team together. I guess.
Right, like Great Britain and Israel.
But
and
if you have to scrape the bottom of the barrel to put a team together, then you shouldn't be in the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah, it feels like they're letting teams do that just to add a country from.
And can we chip some money in to get Great Britain new uniforms next year?
I actually, you know what I have to say about the U.S.?
Don't say.
The U.S. ones grew on me throughout.
Yeah, because we have money. We can afford uniforms.
No, I know. Well, you know who didn't make any sense?
They're probably just spending it all in the new king or queen or whatever's going on there.
Oh, that's true.
They got more important things to spend money on.
They got royalty issues. They have royalty issues.
I also feel like Japan should have been more. They needed more red in their jerseys. They were like.
Yeah, they were. They went more Yankees.
Venezuela, great colors, weird jersey setup.
I got distracted.
Cubas were phenomenal.
So I dabble in baseball. Can I?
Mexico's were great too.
Help me understand something. How the heck could they get their gloves broken in time for the games?
Oh, the colorful ones.
Oh my God! I'm like,
I kind of had the same thought. I'm not sure.
I'm like, how
are the Cuba guys ran away?
One of them did.
What did you hear? What that? The bullpen catch or something? Just left.
He's gone. He's in America somewhere.
They were playing in Miami. He just left the team one night.
That's kind of genius. That's a great.
Incredible. It's incredible.
They're like, oh, I guess we got to leave without him. Well, yeah. That's the point. All right. Well, this has been another edition of Apples to Apples. We crammed this one in right here on WFNU 94.1 LP Frogtown Community Radio. Stay tuned for a, what do they call that in the business? A
rerun.
It's a rerun, but there's a better encore. Word. An encore presentation, thank you, of Connor's Corner right now.